We turn in God's Word this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses of the chapter. The text this morning will be verses 7 through 12. So 2 Chronicles chapter 1. This is the word of God. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord. And Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night, now this begins the text, in that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. And thus far, we read God's word and the text. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that this word would be used to be an encouragement to the elders and deacons and pastor of our congregation, that they would be encouraged to pray, and that they would be encouraged to pray for wisdom. But also may this be an encouragement to us as a congregation to pray for such wisdom for these men, because of the judgments that they must make in the work and the callings that thou hast given to them. The callings and responsibilities of the special offices in the church are great, but we have the confidence that thou art the God who will supply everything that is needed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we pray thy blessing then upon this word as it goes forth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon has just been inaugurated and installed into the office of being the king of the nation of Israel. At this time, he's a very young man, and now he has the responsibility of the entire nation weighing upon his shoulders. Solomon went up to Gibeon, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and where the people would normally go to worship God, because the ark was there. And there at Gibeon, Solomon offers unto God 1,000 burnt offerings. It's in that night that the Lord appears to Solomon, asking Solomon what he, the Lord, should give to him. There were many selfish things that Solomon could have requested, but he didn't. He requested that the Lord would give to him wisdom. Wisdom. Solomon understood that his great need at that moment was wisdom for the work that was at hand. And if there's anything that we know about the life of Solomon, it is that God granted to Solomon wisdom. He was the one who was used by the Holy Spirit to write what's called the wisdom literature of the Scriptures. And so he was given great understanding, knowledge, and wisdom by God to rule his people and also to care for the needs of Israel. But from this, we are reminded this morning what the great need is for those who serve in the special offices. The great need that they have is for wisdom. It is striking in the very prayer that we prayed just after these men were newly installed this morning, that there are certain things that were prayed for them, but first in that list was wisdom. No doubt flowing out of this and also what we read in James chapter 1 verse 5. Remember James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So there the Scriptures in the New Testament also instruct us to pray for wisdom. We all lack wisdom. We're in need of wisdom. So it is fitting then, as these men begin their work, but also as another year of work begins in the church by the elders and the deacons and the pastor, that we are reminded to pray for wisdom. I'm reminded to pray for that. Elders and deacons are reminded to pray for that. And we as a congregation are reminded to pray for that as well. That is the great need of office bearers today. It's not just for Solomon, and it's not just for today either. But there is no doubt that when you get into the work, you understand the difficulty of it. Elders, deacons, pastor, we have judgments to make about things, and those judgments are not easy things to make. And so we need the God of wisdom to give wisdom in this work. So with that in mind, we consider this morning praying for needed wisdom. Praying for needed wisdom. And we focus on the need. The need. Needed to judge. That first of all. Secondly, needed for weakness. Solomon prayed for this knowing his own weakness, his dependence upon God. And then finally, the needed answer. We look at the answer that God gave and the wisdom that God supplied. After being installed and inaugurated the next king of Israel, God did appear to Solomon and asked him point blank, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. We shouldn't skip over that part of the text. We shouldn't just go on to Solomon's request. We'll look at that in a moment. But we see and understand that God came to Solomon and said to Solomon essentially this, pray, and in your prayer, ask what I shall give to you. God is calling Solomon to pray at this time as he begins his reign over the nation of Israel. And it is a command of God. Ask what I shall give thee. Solomon would have been disobeying if he said, God, I'm not going to ask anything. You just give me whatever it is that you think that I need. That would have been wrong on Solomon's part. It was a command. And so also that's a command that comes to us, not just here, but even in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, when He says, ask and seek and knock. The command of God to the office bearers and the command of God to His people is pray, pray. And I am your Father, I will hear and answer your prayers and give what you need. Now why does God command us to pray? Why does God command Solomon to do this? Well, it's not because God didn't know what Solomon needed most. God knew exactly what Solomon needed most. It's not because God doesn't know what we need. It's not because God doesn't know what I need for the work and calling that I have. He does. In fact, Jesus tells us that He knows our needs even better than we know them ourselves. Well, the question is then, well, why pray? Well, the answer is God teaches us that He gives to us the things that we need in the way of praying. So the Heidelberg Catechism says, doesn't it, in that opening Lord's Day on prayer, that He gives His grace and Holy Spirit to those who ask them of Him. It's in this way that He gives us the things that we need, in the way of expressing our dependence upon Him, in the way of crying out to Him. He gives us what we need in the way of prayer. And so it's emphasized, especially to office bearers, that they be men of prayer. It's striking when you go to the church order in Article 16, when it talks about the calling of the minister, and says one of the important callings of the minister is that he pray. Yes, he preaches, he teaches, but he's also to pray. And then you go to Article 23 and it describes the work of the elders and it gives a list of the things that the elders ought to do, but it refers back to Article 16 and says, along with these things, implied in that, elders, pray. There was also something that came out in the forum for the ordination of elders and deacons this morning, the implication that elders and deacons and pastor too are to be men of prayer. Why? Because God calls us to prayer. He calls us to cry out for the things that we need to express in this way our dependence upon Him. So we're reminded this morning to pray. But now, God came to Solomon and said, ask what I shall give thee. Just imagine for a moment, and you kids can think about this too. Of course, you're always listening, but you think about this in a special way. God comes to you and says, ask what I will give you. What would you ask for? If you were in Solomon's shoes, what would you ask for? And God goes through some of the options that Solomon might ask for. Give me prosperity. Give us a time while I'm king where we don't struggle with famine, but we have plenty to eat and plenty of the things of this earth. That would be a desire of a king for his nation. Or give us a time of peace. You know, they came out of the rule of David, and David was a fighting king. God used him to spread the borders of Israel, and they were constantly in warfare. You could imagine that the people were tired of warfare. And so Solomon could rightly, you might say, ask for peace. Just give us peace. Peace while I am ruling, especially so that the temple of the Lord can be built. But Solomon didn't ask for any of those things. He didn't ask for peace. He didn't ask for prosperity. He asked for wisdom. But now just put that in our day and age. If God comes to us and tells us to ask what He will give, what might we selfishly ask for? What is it that we might want if God were to put that before us? Well, for those beginning maybe in the offices in the church, give us 3 years of short meetings and little disputes and little discipline cases as well. Give us 3 years of peace within the church. Give us 3 years, the deacons might pray, of liberal giving and very few benevolent cases so that it's not busy for us either. We could easily pray along those lines. But we learn here from Solomon not to pray for these things, not to pray selfishly for what it is that we want, but to pray for wisdom. That's what Solomon prays for. And the question for us this morning is, well, what is this wisdom? What is it that Solomon is praying for when he prays for wisdom? That's what we read in verse 10 when he prays that. In response, Solomon says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" Well, Solomon understands the work that he has. The work that he has among the people is judgment. That's part of what a king was required to do. He was required to judge. People would come to him with their disputes. Now, he might have judges under him who would judge in matters. But in the end, if those disputes weren't settled, in the end, they would come before the king and have a hearing before him, and he would make a judgment. And we know that from the history that follows, as we read of that in 1 Kings. There were two women, remember, and you kids remember this, two women who came before Solomon wanting his judgment on a matter. They each had a baby. One died during the night. Mom rolled over on that baby, and then she switched the babies, but they both claimed that the living baby was theirs. And how was Solomon going to tell whose child this was until finally he decides to take out a sword and he says, "I'm going to cut the baby in half." And then the mother of the baby says, "No, no, 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 no." And then Solomon knows. So he had to make a judgment in the matter, a wise judgment. That was the work of the king. What does he need to do that? He needs wisdom. So also elders, deacons, pastor, they're making judgments within the church. And to do that, they need wisdom. What is this wisdom? Well, it's three things. It's knowledge, discernment, and decisiveness. Knowledge, discernment, and decisiveness. This idea of wisdom comes out of the wisdom literature itself. When you read the book of Proverbs, which is a book about wisdom, we see and understand that wisdom is always related to knowledge. And now here in the text, what Solomon prays for is knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is really an aspect of that wisdom. What is this knowledge? Well, it's not the knowledge of science. It's not the knowledge of how to make a lot of money. It's not a knowledge about how to conduct warfare. The knowledge that he needs and the knowledge that we need is the knowledge of God and His truth. It's the knowledge of God Himself, who He is, what He does. It's the knowledge of the Savior that God has sent and His work of salvation. It's the knowledge of the sinfulness of man as well. And knowing that man's greatest problem is sin. And knowing that man's greatest need is salvation or deliverance from that sin. It's the knowledge of knowing then what are the great struggles of men and women and children as they live in a sinful world. And understanding the answers that God gives to those struggles in His Word. So it's the knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of man, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of salvation. That, first of all, is what Solomon prays for, that knowledge. Secondly, this wisdom includes discernment. In the parallel passage in 1 Kings 3, there Solomon speaks of the need to discern between good and bad. So remember, he understands his calling to be a judge in Israel, to make judgments between disputing parties, and he needs discernment in that. And that's based upon knowledge. So to take that knowledge that he has and then discern how that knowledge applies to the particular disagreements and situations that would be before him. He needs to know what decisions to make which are best for the entire nation. He needs to know what to decide when it comes to people who are disputing or parties who are disputing. What is right and good for everyone according to the truth of God, according to the knowledge of God. So Solomon here is praying for the ability to discern, to take that knowledge and see how it applies to the situation that is before him. A That's what's especially difficult. To know how the knowledge of God and His truth, what in our day, what we read in a chapter and verse, how that applies to the situation that is in front of us. And then thirdly, along with that, Psalm is praying for the strength to judge decisively, to make decisive judgments. Solomon understands how easy it is for him as a young king to be swayed by popular opinion. That as a young king, he would simply want to please the people, and in pleasing the people, he would depart from knowledge and discernment. That he would waver in that. That he would be more concerned with pleasing the people than fearing the Lord. That's why, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what is written in the book of Proverbs? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's so important is that he fears the Lord, so that Solomon would then act decisively in the fear of God, in defense of truth and holiness, while at the same time doing what is good and right to preserve the unity of the kingdom. And so we see that ability of Solomon, given by God, to act decisively. In that story that follows, the two women who come before him, he acts decisively. He takes knowledge, he has discernment of what's going on, and then he judges decisively. We see and understand from this then what is needed for elders and deacons and pastors today, and not just for them, but for us as parents, and for us in the callings that we have as well. We need wisdom. This is the wisdom that we must pray for, and it's good that we have content with that wisdom. Knowledge, discernment, decisiveness. This is what our office bearers need. They need knowledge, the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. It's a prayer then that God would give to them as they study that Word, this understanding of the Scriptures, that they would know God, that they would know Christ, that they would know what God is teaching in His Word. That they would know and understand man and his sinfulness and how sin affects man. That they would know and understand not only the outward character of sin, but that they would see and understand as well from Scripture the heart out of which all sin comes. And then what we pray for as office bearers, and we pray this for them, is that they would have the ability to discern what is right and wrong. We would pray that for them, and they would pray for this. It's such an important aspect of the work that they do. I said a moment ago how difficult this is, and it is. If you ask any elder, any deacon, or you would come to me and ask, what's so difficult about the work? It's this. We would wish that every question that we have is directly answered in the Word of God. Now, there are answers here, don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying that the Word of God is insufficient or that it's vague and it doesn't have what we need. It does. But it's not found in question and answer form like a catechism. It's not found like a manual might read and say, well, if this, this, and this is going on, then this is what you do. It doesn't come in that way. We're given truth. We're given the knowledge of God. We're given understanding of sin. And now the Word of God says, take that, or God says, take that and apply that to the situation at hand. What are the sins that are going on here maybe is part of what we have to discern. And what does God say about those sins? And what's going on in the heart of man? There are financial issues to judge. There are abuse issues to judge within the church today. Sin issues. There are those who come and make confession of sin. Well, what's a good confession of sin? And what is true repentance? And are we seeing that in this person right now? Oh God, give us discernment to know what is true and right in this situation. Beloved, it may be that you're struggling with a decision that a consistory has made, a judgment that they've made, or deacons have made, or whatever it may be, and maybe we're unhappy about that. Have you ever thought? Let's pray for wisdom for these men. and trust that God is leading them and guiding them and giving them that wisdom, that they're trying to make decisions that are right in accord with this truth. And then thirdly, what we need today is strength, boldness, and conviction to make decisive decisions within the church. The dangers that we're swayed by public opinion, that we want to please the church. Now, there's a balance there in all of that. I'm not talking about pleasing the church, but what we keep in mind as office bearers is the unity of the church. We don't want to disrupt that unity of the church. At the same time, we have to do what's right and pleasing before God and trust that when we make a decision that is right and pleasing before God and we're decisive in that, that God will preserve the unity of the church in this. But that's what we need to pray for, strength, that we be courageous and decisive in this work. So Solomon prays for this needed wisdom to judge. Secondly, we see and understand that Solomon prays for this wisdom knowing his own weakness and knowing the greatness of God's people. The text speaks of that as well, not only here, but also in the parallel passage in 1 Kings chapter 3. The first thing we notice is that Solomon, in praying for wisdom, is aware of his youth and inexperience. And God uses his youth and inexperience to expose the fact that he doesn't have the wisdom that he needs. He needs God to give him wisdom. In 1 Kings 3, verse 7, Solomon says this, "I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." Solomon is saying here not that he is a little child, not fully grown yet. That's not true. He's not of that age. But he knows his own inexperience, and in that he sees his youth. Now, he is a young man. That word child there can refer to a child anywhere from an infant to the age of 20 years old. So you think about Solomon. He may have been 18 to 20 years old when he became king. And suddenly he's the king of this great nation of Israel. It's happened quite quickly. There was an attempt by Adonijah, his brother, to steal the throne from him. That doesn't happen. Now he's ruling over the entire king of Israel at that young age. So some of you about that age, or maybe even just a little bit older, think about becoming the king of Israel or the president of the United States, and maybe certain things look good about that, but then you get into it and understand the responsibility that comes with that and how overwhelming that would be. Solomon is saying here, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this work. I'm young. I'm inexperienced. I'm like a little child. His son Rehoboam was much different, wasn't he? Just think about the contrast. Rehoboam. Remember Rehoboam, kids? He thought he knew what he should do. Instead of listening to wise older counselors, he follows other young men like himself. And in his pride and stubbornness, he makes a really bad decision. Not a decision according to wisdom. Oh, he's decisive in it, but decisive in a bad way. When he says, well, I'm going to make things harder than my father Solomon. Solomon, he's not like that when he enters into the kingship. He's humble. He sees how weak he is and how dependent he is upon God. And so he cries out for what he doesn't have himself. Give me wisdom. He cries out to the God of wisdom. Give me wisdom. Solomon here manifests a vital characteristic for all those who will serve as office bearers in the church. And that characteristic here is humility. Humility that knows dependence upon God. Solomon does not proudly think that ruling the nation will be a piece of cake. Because after all, his father, David, did it. And maybe he's got this in his genes, it's in his blood. I can do this. No, he understands how weak he is. And that, by the grace of God, is what drives Solomon to pray for wisdom. So also humility is a chief characteristic for office bearers in the church. There are different ways that God brings us to this humility. Maybe it's in the way of serving in the office for the first time, feeling young and inexperienced when it comes to church polity matters. But there are many other ways as well. Sometimes we can be puffed up in pride, things are going pretty well, and then all of a sudden God brings across our path something that's very difficult. It's very difficult to discern what's right and wrong in a certain issue. And I can remember times in my ministry going into meetings not knowing how we're going to deal with an issue that is before us, and the elders not knowing either, but praying and praying, not just at the beginning of the meeting, during the meeting as well. And God led us and guided us to make a decision that was right and good before Him. But those are situations that arise that show us our dependence upon God. And it may be this, we're very humbled in the work of the offices by understanding and knowing that we cannot change the hearts of those with whom we work. It's not if we say the right thing, if we get angry enough with them, we bring the right verse to them, suddenly that's going to make them change and repent. No, God has to work that. We are instruments in the Redeemer's hands. And so in our work, we need to know our dependence upon God. We need to be delivered from self-reliance in this work. And that's when we cry out for wisdom. God, give us wisdom. But not only that, those are the things that God uses to show us our weakness and turns us to Him. But we see and understand that God Himself is the God of wisdom. Solomon was used to write about that. We've just been going through in our family worship Proverbs chapter 8. And in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. That means wisdom is spoken of as a person, and that's because wisdom is a person. The New Testament tells us that Jesus Christ is wisdom. And so we're reminded here that we need the wisdom of Jesus Christ that comes from Him and Him alone. So we know our dependence upon God and our dependence upon Jesus Christ. Solomon cries out for wisdom and the knowledge of his weakness. But secondly, along with that, Solomon asks for wisdom in the consciousness of the greatness of the people over whom God has placed him. Verse 8 says that, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen." Solomon is conscious of the fact that he rules over God's people. These are his. And he feels the responsibility of that as well, like parents feel the weight and the responsibility of realizing these children that are in my home aren't mine. They are his. I may do what I want with them. They're his. I have to deal with them in a way that reflects God himself. Solomon here is conscious of the fact that he rules over God's people as God's servant. These are the people that God has chosen. These are the people that God has saved. These are the people to whom God has shown grace and mercy in abundance. That's very different than the way an ungodly king would think. An ungodly king thinks about how he may use these people for his own good. Now, he might want to defend them and protect them, but in the end, it's for his own good. If they're defended and protected and they're happy, then they'll pay their taxes and they'll do that cheerfully maybe, and they'll look to me for all that they need, and that makes me feel very good. It makes me feel wanted as well, and it becomes all about that man. Not Solomon. It's not all about him. It's understanding these people belong to God, and I am the servant of God, and as a servant of God, I must take care of them. And now, because I'm called to take care of them, and my judgments are very important, then for the good of this people, give me knowledge, give me discernment, give me decisiveness in this, so I do what is good and right for them before the face of God. That's the attitude of Solomon here. But along with that, Solomon understands that these people in the kingdom are sinners. They're sinners. They're going to sin. This is exactly why he needs wisdom. It's not just that they're the people of God, but these people of God are sinners, and things are going to get ugly, and things are going to get messy. And I need to be able to have the wisdom, the knowledge, and discernment to make right judgments and to do that decisively. We see here, beloved, how important it is then that the office bearers, especially in the church, look at the church from this perspective. And when we do, this is going to lead us as well to cry out for wisdom. Elders, the Lord has entrusted the care of the souls of this flock to your care. We know the weight and the responsibility that comes with it. These are the people of God redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, chosen by God for the foundation of the world. And we are to care for them, reflecting Jesus Christ Himself. So we are to see them as the people of God. We are to see them as the sheep of God that He loves, that He cares for, that need protection. And we're to reflect God in our work. We see and understand that. And again, that's going to drive us to prayer. Oh God, give us the wisdom we need to carry out this work. We know at times things are going to be messy. And judgment will be required. But oh God, give us the knowledge we need, the discernment we need, and the decisiveness we need to do what's right before Thy face. But that's also an important word for you as a congregation, for us as a congregation, to see these men whom God has placed over us as representatives of Jesus Christ. They are weak, they are sinful, they need wisdom from God. Pray that for them. But they are set here for your nurture and for your care and for your spiritual welfare. And so that doesn't mean for us that we may never disagree with them. We may, but we do that in a right way, in a kind way, desiring also that they would be led and guided in wisdom, and that we as a congregation would be as well. And so we bear with their weaknesses, and we love them, and we pray for them as well. May we do that as a congregation, praying that God would grant wisdom. But finally, we see here the answer. God answered this request of Solomon. God answered this request by granting Solomon the wisdom that he needed and also giving to Solomon wisdom and riches. The text tells us that God is pleased with this request of Solomon. God was pleased because Solomon's request showed that his concern was not his own legacy. It was not himself and what he could get, but he wanted to be faithful in this rule over God's people. That's important to see and understand here, because that means that when we pray for wisdom, God approves of that request. That is a petition that God loves to hear because it shows our dependence upon Him. It shows as well our love for the church, our desire to be faithful unto Him. It shows that we fear Him. So let's remember James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him pray for it, and he shall give it. When we pray for wisdom, we don't pray for wisdom and say, if it be thy will. It is the will of God to give wisdom to His church and to the elders and the deacons and the pastors of His church. That's what this passage emphasizes to us. He will give it. He gave it to Solomon. He gave him that wisdom that he needed to rule over this great people. And then he gave an abundance of wealth and prosperity as well. That doesn't mean that if you ask for wisdom, God's going to make you rich. But the point is abundance. There will be an abundance. God will bless. And God blesses in His church, the church with peace and prosperity. When the office bearers follow wisdom, when the leaders in the church follow wisdom, in the end there will be peace and prosperity that is given by God. God will supply our every need. And why does He do that? Well, Solomon remembers and praises God for His abundant mercy. That's verse 8. Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. There's mercy shown to David, and now Solomon says, the reason that I'm king is because of God's mercy. Solomon praises God for that mercy. And because of His mercy, Solomon is on this throne. That's why it is that God answers this request. This is why it is He gives wisdom, because He is a God of abundant mercy. Not only to these men who are called to rule over us, but He's abundantly merciful to His church. And wisdom blesses the church. So we see the beautiful mercy of God as He gives wisdom to the rulers, to the leaders of the church, all for the good of His church. So let us be assured then today that God will grant this request for wisdom, because He is merciful. Merciful to the leaders of the church, and merciful to the church as well. May God grant the leaders of our church great wisdom. Amen. Let us pray. Father, the source of all mercy and the God of mercy and wisdom, we come before Thee asking that Thou wilt, in Thy great mercy, give wisdom to the elders and deacons and pastor of our congregation, to the elders, deacons, and pastors of the churches, of the Protestant Reformed churches, and to the true Church of Jesus Christ wherever she is found. We pray, O God, that Thou will give wisdom that is knowledge and discernment and decisiveness. Give to our elders and deacons especially that knowledge and that discernment and decisiveness that is needed for the issues and the difficulties that are before them. Lead them and guide them, Father, in all of their work. And make them to be men of prayer as well. And make us to be a people of prayer, praying for them regularly. Now bless us in our fellowship together, and bring us back here in this evening for worship again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.